Well, there it is. Pull up a chair, have a seat. We're talking Kayak Fishing Radio here. It's Thursday night. I'm Chip Gibson, Tree Hugger, your host for a little while this evening. I'm still recovering from too much boondoggle, but actually not enough boondoggle, to be honest. We only got to spend a couple of days down there. School and the day job got in the way. But we did make it, and we upheld our record of the myself and the clone being the only ones who've been to every boondoggle. We now have 8 of them under our belts. So that was it. So it was a good time had by y'all. Joining us tonight in the studio here, Buzzards Row, Matt Trucks, our New Jersey cohort. How's it going, Matt?
Hey, good evening, Chip. I'm glad to hear you made it back alive from the boondoggle.
Alive, safe.
I heard the gnats were draining people's blood down there.
The no-see-ums, man. The no-see-ums were just... we had the thermocells and a little bit of bug spray, and they usually left you alone. And if you stayed in the wind, if you got back towards the back of the park where the woods were and it kind of blocked some of the wind, they could fly and get to you. So wasn't too bad. Folks who are not used to no-see-ums and sand fleas, they enjoyed a feast on those folks. My buddy Jim from North ATL, man, how's the weather up on the north side tonight?
Man, I think fall has finally arrived in North Atlanta. It's a little chilly, a little cloudy, relatively speaking. Not to insult Matt Trucks in New Jersey, but for us it's a little chilly.
It is a bit chilly, man. A little nip in the air, so no frost on the pumpkin yet.
It's probably warmer up here than it is down there.
Probably, right? So yeah, we were in the green room there before the show kicked off. We're chatting, and the boondoggle was this past weekend down in Merritt Island, Florida. For those of you who are listening to the podcast, listening out there on... I don't know, wherever we're broadcasting. But the next boondoggles have been announced, the next two, in fact, the boondoggles for 2015. So the February boondoggle, which is the mini version, the old school style boondoggle, where you show up and you get your own reservations and all that kind of stuff, no meal tickets or anything like that. It's going to be President's Day weekend. That's February, I think it's like the 10th or 11th. And that will be at Flamingo, Everglades National Park, which is about, you go down to nowhere, and then you drive about an hour and a half south of there, and you're in Flamingo. So, that was the site of last year's Adventure Fishing World Championship, and again, I believe it will be the same, which means those of you who are participating in the World Adventure Fishing Championship will be know that you can start the week off at the boondoggle and pre-fish and everything, and just hang out the entire week and catch the tournament the last weekend there. So that's what it looks like. I had talked to Woody. I know he said that he was gonna sit down with Mark Grace this week and talk about it. But that's their game plan. So, Flamingo, Florida. You've been there, right, Jim?
I have. Flamingo and over west over to Everglades City and Chokoloskee. Mm-hmm. Crazy, yep. Fishing down there.
Crazy fishing is right, and they got lizards of both kinds down there, gators and crocodiles. So I don't know if there's any crocodiles down there, but there are both kinds. The gators are black and the crocodiles are green. Green and brown.
And I'm shooting for it this year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to try to make it down to Flamingo, man?
I'm going to try. I mean, the guys at the kayak fishing store, they drive a trailer down there and everything. And
yeah,
I'm hoping by that time that I'll have a Kraken in my backyard. So,
Speaking
of
that,
all I need to hook up on that thing is a fish finder and a shotgun mount, and I think I'm ready.
You don't even need a fish finder down there. The water's not that deep, man. A GPS would be best. If you've got a fish finder with a GPS on it, you could keep it on there. You won't use the bottom machine portion, but the GPS will work. And then the follow on to Columbus Day. So the year from now, the boondoggle, the follow on for the October Columbus Day weekend is going to be in what was the name of the place? It's in Louisiana. So let me look it up real quick. It's on Facebook on the Kayak Fishing Boondoggle page. But the it's up on the north side of Lake Pontchartrain. There's a little state
really
park
swampy
there.
Then.
Yeah.
Some catfishing up there? Hillbilly hand fishing?
Well, you might be doing a little bit of grappling there or whatever they call it. But they do, it's, hold on a second. Let me get my map out here. It starts with an M. There's a little state park over there. But the tourist version. What?
Where is it? What lake is it? By Pontchartrain, did you say?
It's on the north side, Mandeville.
Mandeville? No, that's redfish.
Yeah, there's redfish and everything up there. The St. Tammany State Game Refuge is there. There's also like a little park there. It's called the. There's like a little state park there, too, where the boondoggle will be held. But it's Mandeville, Louisiana. And you'll register on the boondoggle website and all that good stuff for that one. But the flamingo one is a come-as-you-are and old school, bring your own stuff. And actually, if you're going to go to Flamingo, you got to pack everything you need in there because they ain't got nothing down there. Homestead is like an hour drive from there. There's a small store there at Flamingo at the boat ramp, but not much else out there. So, interesting place. Yeah. And let's see. So, we got, for you, Matt, Flamingo, Florida, right? That's like way down the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then, what's your zip code, Matt?
08869.
What?
I'm curious how far this is.
08869. I never heard of it. Okay. All right. This says
just
it cannot calculate.
Go south.
This says it cannot calculate directions from Raritan to Homestead, Florida. It's just not possible.
Really?
You can't get there from there.
I guess I have to paddle down then.
It says you can't get there from there. Isn't that crazy? Holy crap. Can't get there from here.
It's probably not used to that you have to pay to get out of Jersey. So.
I guess not, man. Hold on. Surely you can get there from here.
Of course you can.
Google says you can't. Says you can't do it. Oh, there you go.
Okay.
All right. So, yeah, you're basically on I-95 for 20 hours and 42 minutes. It's 1,331 miles.
Oh, man.
That's a haul, buddy.
That's a
ride. Yeah.
That is a haul.
So you might want to get inside your Kraken and stick, hopefully Paul loads it up on his truck there.
Yeah, they used to bring a trailer down, so we'll see. I think they rent a house down there or something like that, or a cabin or something.
There might be something down there.
I don't know if they're right in Homestead or Flamingo.
Probably Homestead.
You're live.
There's nothing.
It's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck.
Hello.
Chuck, Flamingo's a long way from New Jersey. We just found that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
1,300 and change miles.
Flamingo's a long way away from everything.
I know, right? Especially if you forgot the
measuring boards.
Yeah. Mm. If you forget the measuring boards in Homestead.
It's a 2-hour round trip.
Yeah. Sure is, while everybody's waiting on you.
It looks like it's pretty close to Cuba. I'm going to get some cigars while I'm over there.
Yeah, it's nowhere near Cuba.
No.
There may be a Cuban there who will have cigars.
That would be Pepe.
That would be my co-host, of course.
There you go.
Of course.
He has the best cigars on the planet, by the way.
Yeah, he's always smoking a good stogie there. But, so Flamingo, and then, like I said, the Boondoggle is the weekend of the 10th, I think, and then the Adventure Fishing World Championship is the follow-up weekend. So you should just plan on spending an entire week down there, Matt, and that way there you can, even if you don't fish in the tournament, you can hang out at the Boondoggle and then volunteer at the tournament because they always need people to be out there.
I'm coming all the way down there. I'm going to have to fish the thing. There's no way not to.
So, and actually, if you've got the Kraken, that might be the kind of boat for that one, man, because the pedals did not help you in Flamingo.
How shallow is that one?
What'd you say there, Chuck?
I have the answer to that problem now.
Yeah, what's that?
The Adventure Island without the sail, without the pontoons.
Yeah?
Because I can paddle it.
Yeah.
Paddle it really fast, and then when I am in deep enough water, I can use the pedals and fly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just the adventure part of the Adventure Island.
There you go.
I might even put the Amas out, man, so that you could stand out there. And then you could take the two-man. That way there, when you're going, you could just get both guys just stroking on the pedals, man.
That's right.
Get a big weight.
Sand fish from a tandem.
Yeah. Get out on those Amas. Yeah.
They make a Hobie Adventure tandem?
Yeah. Yeah, Barrett Fine and them were out there on it the other day at the Boondoggle. It's interesting fishing down there. And actually, Matt, it was interesting Sunday morning. So it was me and the clone and Sean Wagner and his buddy Rudy, Greg Crisp and Riley. And by the way, Riley is like done the growth spurt like the clone did. And he's like this freaking huge kid now. But Greg got his Kraken, and we were trying to keep up with him. Brad was in Alex's Outback. I was on the Propel Slayer, and Greg Chris left us all in the dust from that Kraken, man. That is a paddling boat, man. It is fast.
That's what I've been told. I'm hoping to get it next year. We'll check it out.
I don't know if it's as stable, you know, as like the big rig or the, but it's fast boat, man. He just walked away from us, man. We had to like pedal max.
Fine for standing, so.
Yeah, but it's a nice looking boat, and he fished well out of it, and it was fast. So, I don't know. I was actually thinking that. If the water looked as low as it was last year at the Adventure Tournament, I might just put my ultimates in the water because at least the long water line would paddle better, faster. But dragging the propeller through that grass and those weeds was just terrible, man. It was a lot of work.
Yeah. Oof.
So, we caught some fish this past weekend. There was some fish to be had out there. And we didn't get any trophies, but we got some nice 20-inch trout, 20-plus-inch trout. And I caught a couple of reds. Brad caught a red. Caught a bunch of puffer fish. Puffer fish must be like the national fish of Merritt Island or something like that, because you would just see like... giant schools of puffer fish.
No, man. See, what you guys don't understand is I opened up a outfitter store where I sell lots and lots of soft plastics. So what I
did you put the puffers out there?
Well, listen, hold on. This is a true, this is a somewhat true, not really story. So, what I did was a couple of years back, we had some freezes that killed a bunch of stuff off in the river, including basically every puffer fish known to man. Well, sales of soft plastics went into the tank after that because, I mean, guys weren't having to replace, you know, bags and bags of soft plastics because there were no puffer fish. So I
you could put one DOA shrimp on a rod and never have to change it, right?
Fished it all day, exactly. So what I did is I started the puffer fish breeding program here on the Space Coast. And let me tell you what, everybody listening, that is a dirty job that I don't even think Mike Rowe would want to take on.
That's right.
Having
puffer
to
fish breeding and restoration program.
Having to find two puffer fish that get along well enough to make little puffer fish is a very strenuous task. However, I am very proud to say that the puffer fish have rebounded in great numbers and sales of plastics are through the roof.
Yeah, I thought, look at that bait ball over there, man. I'm going to go fishing. I stood up in the boat, you know, to get a better look, man. It was like 20 freaking puffer fish at the surface just popping around. It was like, holy crap. And all
was,
you had to do...
poisonous kind?
No. Actually, though, I checked it out on the regs, and you can't even harvest puffer. It's illegal to harvest puffer fish.
Yeah, because they'll kill you.
No, they won't.
Chuck? Chip? I caught a puffer fish one time on a DOA over the panhandle, and when I was taking it off, of course, I was handling it without a glove, and then I guarantee you, I felt some tingling in my hand by the time I got through with that puffer fish getting them off my hook. I think they have some kind of secretion.
Seriously,
you know what I mean?
They do have a poison sac inside their body that it's very known fact that people like to eat puffer fish, especially people from up north enjoy puffer fish because you can eat puffer fish from up in New England. And people who have tried to eat the puffer fish down here but don't know how to clean them, and if you don't know how to clean them and you rupture that poisonous sac that's inside their body, it can literally kill you. So, hence, you are not allowed to keep them. Otherwise, they wouldn't care. They'd just be like, yeah, eat them all. Who cares? But, yeah. It's one of the only game fish in the river besides the Goliath grouper that's protected.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's protected for your protection. See that? Protected for your protection.
Hmm. Well, I think we should be allowed to eat them if we want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, by all means, if you feel like you're sushi chef / whatever culinary guy, you want to go at them with the ginsu, then sure.
Now, I ate some puffer when I was over in Japan, but I think that I'm looking. It says that all of them have some sort of toxin. It's called tetrodotoxin. But it's...
You should look in to see how many people over in Japan and the other Asian countries die every year from eating puffer fish.
Yeah, it's called
a lot of.
It's called fugu in Japan.
There you go.
Yeah.
Popsicles.
Yeah, fugu.
It's because it'll fugu you up.
It'll fugu you right on up, man. That's right, man. But anyways. It says the diet of the puffer fish includes mostly invertebrates and algae and soft plastics, especially those displaying a fluorescent yellow or bright green tail.
Indeed.
You cannot throw a paddle tail out there with a yellow tail on it. It will not come back with the yellow tail. Puffer fish love those things. And the little bitty... The little bitty half moon shapes that they bite out of your plastic. There was a pile of them in the bottom of my boat by the time we got back.
Here's a little interesting tidbit for you. If you should just so happen to accidentally kill a puffer fish can re-release it back to its natural habitat, then most of your other pufferfish will then leave that same area, much like the same way as if you were to kill a shark and drop it on a reef. Other sharks don't like the scent of a dead shark, so they would leave. That's science.
That's hard science, man.
Brought to you by Fresca, original citrus, sparkling flavored soda.
But no, we had a good time. I could say I caught some fish. It was tough though, because like I said, the clone, he didn't get out of school. They only gave him a day off this year. So we had to drive down. We left Friday evening, stopped for the night once I got tired, and then got up, got in around 11, managed to get out and fish a bit. I didn't get to fish with you, Chuck, man. You were busy being a hero.
I don't know about being a hero.
But
busy recovering.
Busy recovering. I asked Alex, I said, what are you guys doing walking around at 3:40 in the morning? It was like they were doing tours, I guess. So, but
tours.
Yeah. And then, oh my gosh, it was like gale force winds Sunday night. It was crazy, man. We did the potluck in front of Stan and Holly's quad pod, and the winds just stoked up to about 35 knots, man, coming off the water there. So, but it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend for fishing. I think that's probably one of the most fishable boondoggles that I've been to. So
I was going to say, I think that it probably will go down as one of the best as far as catching fish is concerned, and swiping off of species of bucket list fish from people. Because I know the guys from ACK came down and they really, really wanted to find some tarpon and some snook. And I was like, well, if you go here and throw this right there, you'll catch a fish.
And Barrett took your word.
Yeah, Barrett believed me. I don't know why, but he did. I just made it up, and it actually worked out. But no, I'm kidding. But yeah, they went out there and they got their first snooks. I mean, everybody caught snook in that group. I think there was like five or six snook caught that first day, and then it ended up the one gentleman, I can't remember his name, but the one gentleman wanted to get a tarpon on fly, and I looked at him, I looked at the watch, and I'm like, well, you better go, because they're probably feeding right now, and this is where you go, and this is where you do it. And they went and they caught some tarpon, so that was cool.
Very cool.
Everybody caught fish. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah, everybody had a good time. So now we look forward to February. I look forward to it more because I already got a campsite, by the way, in Flamingo, one with electricity, so I can bring my boondoggle bandwagon and sleep in luxury down in the Everglades. But
they got 30 amp for air conditioning over there.
Yeah, there's like three loops. There's tents and there's I don't know, Chuck, do you remember, was there water at the campsites that had no electricity? Or was it just...
No, I don't think there was at all.
No, it was only the one loop where the RVs had electricity, and I don't even think there's water on those sites. I think it's just the electricity. But they had nice bathhouses. Say what?
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I think the only potable water is a spigot out of that little general store. I don't think any of the sites have water to them, just electricity on the one loop, if I remember correctly.
They got some bathhouses and stuff there and all, but it's a little more usable. But I can't remember. I got an electric site for Friday night and Saturday night, and then I have a regular site for Sunday, and then I go back in and I got electric site all the way through to the end of the. Next weekend for...
That's crazy.
Yeah, there was one Sunday, but I think I'm probably going to be able to work it out so I don't have to move the trailer. But We'll definitely have the trailer there. So, but
maybe down there for the tournament. But I'm not going to be able to make it down there for both events. So if I had to choose between the two, unfortunately, I'd have to choose the tournament over the Bizzle.
Well, you know, the rules of the tournament are, if you're a plank holder like we are, thank goodness somebody in the crew had the foresight to you know, go collect a bunch of cans and make the money to get a bunch of people into it the first year. Actually, I'm just messing around. I was helping about supporting. Well, I just wanted to support Woody and them and help get the program running. I thought it was a great idea. But if you don't take your seat at the tournament, you lose it. You lose your right to first. Because we all get first right of refusal for tournament time. So at least you have to have somebody, like, if you wouldn't be able to make it, you have to have Pepe or somebody do it under your name, so the, you know, keep the seed alive, because I think eventually it's going to work out to be a really interesting. I mean, right now it's still a very cool tournament. It's not what people think it is. I mean, it's not really a fishing tournament. It's about,
no, it's more of a race, honestly.
And the fishing part of it is, the challenge of the fishing is, how quickly can you get to a spot, find it, and then catch a fish there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have to be somewhat of a decent fisherman, because you're only going to target 3 or 4 species maybe, but, you know, how quickly can you do that? I mean, and people who catch a 18-inch trout and then sit there and fish for another hour are going to be sore that they didn't complete the event, because
absolutely,
if you catch a 10-inch trout in the first 5 minutes, you put it on the board, you get the picture, and you move. If you got time at the end, you will come back and try to catch a bigger fish, but you need to move on. That's the first year we were there at Chukaloski, and we got out there to Jack Daniels Island, and we got out there with Gene and Rob, and we got out on the east side of that island there, and the trout were up there in the grass bed. We got the trout quickly, but Gene decided, oh, let's go around the other side and see if there's more, a bigger trout, you know? And then Brad and I just turned around and started heading back in. By the time they got back, they got stuck in the mangroves because all the little tunnels closed up because the tide was flooding back in. But so yeah, that's the key. That's a key element in the Adventure Fishing World Championship, is catch a fish and move on. Don't hang out. Once you caught one, get to the next checkpoint. So,
and reel your fish in faster than sharks can swim.
Yes. Yes, you have to. But let's see. I'm looking to see. There's the Flamingo Marina. The Buttonwood Cafe is there. And I don't know, between there and Mosquito Lagoon, I don't know which has bigger mosquitoes.
They weren't really bad, though, when we were down there for the tournament.
Only if you slept in the hammock with your back up against the mosquito netting.
Well, no.
The clone looked like somebody shot him in the back with rock salt. So.
Yeah. Chip.
What's that?
I went on an official tour in the Everglades, a little west of Flamingo, and the guy there was native Miamian. In his late 60s, been there his whole life. They said they have over 24 varieties of mosquitoes in the Everglades now. So there might be a lot of mosquitoes up Chuck's way, but I think the variety is, you're going to be lucky enough to always have mosquitoes no matter what the weather or the time of day.
Yeah. I know that
honest,
a lot of the...
Sorry, Chuck.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, I'll be honest, when we were down there for the tournament, I was actually really kind of surprised, because all the mangrove tunnels and all the swampy kind of areas we went to in the backcountry, I didn't really get bit up hardly at all. I think more so no-sams than anything. you know, that place down there, though, I would say in March, April, May, June, and July would be as close to hell on earth as what I think one person could expect down there in Flamingo. Because I know some guides that guide down that way, and they say, listen, as you get close to the shoreline, the whole shoreline is humming with mosquitoes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
As soon as they catch wind of you, it's all over with. There's no amount of you can put on you to stop them. It's just, it's going to happen. It's inevitable. Our mosquitoes stop when the sun comes up. Our mosquitoes pretty much go away down there.
Yeah.
At least in Chokoleski, too. Man, it's like they never go to sleep or they never go away or whatever. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was like, don't get your line hung up in the mangroves there in Flamingo, because if you shake the mangrove tree, the mosquitoes come out. If you throw a bait up in there, just cut it off. Don't even try to yank it out. Just you've lost that one, man. Don't even mess with it. So, but
and the crocodiles.
Yeah, the crocs are there, but. It just says that there's electric sites and 41 electric sites in the T loop. It doesn't say anything about water though, but I don't know. But anyways, that's cool. It'll be fun. The tournament is awesome. It's a great place to go fishing too. There's lots of fish down there. There's lots of mud, too, right, Chuck?
Well, don't get out of the kayak.
Yeah, never get out of the kayak.
Yeah, there's no wading. Don't expect to go down to Flamingo and wade. And even if you do go down to Flamingo and wade, you better have your head on a swivel because there's sharks, like, literally every 100 yards on the flats, there's a shark. So, you know.
I had one bump into the back of my boat.
Yeah. I had the one eat my trout during a tournament.
Yeah.
Reeling in a trout, and he shot out of nowhere, about a 6.5-7 foot long lemon shark, shot out of nowhere and ate my trout. Didn't even see him sitting there. It's crazy.
Yeah. So. So, yep, we did some fishing, we did some fun, and now we're looking forward to making it through the winter. Matt, you're just going to be stuck up there in the snow and ice for the next couple of months, thinking about February, right?
Yeah. Saying a bad winter this year again, so we'll see.
Another bad winter.
Although last year it was pretty cold by now already, so it was definitely, because I know I was out night fishing this time of year. It's always night fishing, and then I had icicles coming off my paddle this time last year. It's a little warmer right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a warm weather sports kind of person. I just don't know that I could fish that way. I might come up and see you sometime during the summer, Matt, but dude.
You'll still get cold in the water. It only gets up to like 75 to 78 degrees max. And that's warm.
This is terrible, man. But anyways, let me see here what they say for the talk of February 13th.
Well, I'll be thinking about you, Matt, while I'm fishing down here all winter long in board shorts and a t-shirt.
I'm moving.
Don't let me fool you, dude. Us Floridians, we get cold when it gets out of the 60s. So I'll have on waders and three shirts, a sweatshirt, a beanie hat, and pocket warmers or whatever. And, yeah, 50 degrees outside. Crying.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'll be up here in the 20s doing the same thing. I have yet to buy a full dry suit, though. I've been pushing that off. I should have had one last year.
You don't have a full dry suit, man, and you fish out there and that stuff?
I use a semi-dry suit, the Kokatat semi-dry suit. It's fine. I mean, I've gone in with it, but your day's over once you go in. You get a little wet. You're paddling back. That's it.
Yeah, and you're done, man.
Yeah. But, you know, you're not going to – you're not risking your life with the semi-dry suit. At least I don't feel like I am. You still float with it pretty well. But it seeps, and it's enough to where when a couple minutes goes by and the adrenaline wears off a little bit, it's like, ooh,
right.
It's cold. Where did I park?
Didn't yeah, so. Well, but, yeah, I would imagine that would just be, it's just too cold, man. So, but we had NRS there, and they had those nice warm boots, and they talked about layering. They got some nice gear. So, you could probably stay warm. But you need a dry suit, man.
Yeah, no, I got to pick one up. It's money, you know.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
You just go to the Army-Navy store, man. Get an old aviator's, you know, one of those old Gumby suits that the Coast Guard use, man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how well you could fish out of one of those things, though, but you'd stay
alive.
My kayak's
only rated for, like, 400 pounds, so I don't know if that'll work.
Yeah, the Gumby suit's, like... 200 pounds by itself, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But, all right. All right. Well, I'm just like going around in circles here. What should I talk about? But it's just that we had a good last. The weekend was good. It was good to see Chuck and all the guys from the Space Coast there. It's good to know that you guys are still making it down there. And, it must be so terrible to have to live there and fish all the time. It's a burden,
yeah,
but somebody has to do it.
Indeed.
So,
being a few minutes away from the Mosquito Lagoon, being a few minutes away from the Motor Zone and the ocean, really big pull on me. You know, it's tough, man.
It's a cross that you must bear.
It's a cross that I must bear for those who...
That's right. For those of us who live in the ATL and have to drive 35 miles one way to work and put up with traffic and all that every day. It's terrible, dude.
Real estate in Brevard County right now is really pretty cheap. So I'm just saying.
I know. I talked to Tom, you know, last time I was there. I talked to Tom last time I was there, and it was like, could be interesting. So, but it could happen, man. Got a couple more years.
I might have to get a winter home over there.
There you go.
You two can struggle. You two can.
You know what you need to do, Chuck?
Out.
Chuck, you need to keep your eye open for a fish camp for us, man.
No, listen seriously. If there was ever a business locally that needed to be opened, it would be a bed and breakfast fish camp style place where you can have little cottages and water access and, you know, a true bed and breakfast with a boat dock, boat lifts. We have some guides running charters right out of the back of the place. That would absolutely kill it here. But it's so hard to find water from property where you can do any of that stuff anymore. So, you know, but, you know, maybe one day you guys can relocate and come on down.
That's why Alex lives at Cars.
No, seriously. I mean, that's genius for him during the summer months when the family, his wife's out of school because she's a school teacher. So when she's out of school and the kids are all out of school, they literally live at Cars Park for like half the year because – and what's crazy is they have a really nice house right on Merritt Island, like right near the water. So it's cool. It works out, man. But, you know, that is
works
the struggle,
out.
Though. And maybe one day you'll figure that out. Chip, you come down here, you'll find a place, and then you can make all those difficult decisions that we have to do. Am I going to fish the Mosquito Lagoon today, or the Indian River, or the Banana River, or the ocean?
Manatee Cove, or whatever.
Manatee Cove.
Yeah.
Pine Island. I mean, you know.
It's just freaking terrible, man. All right.
I'll never leave here, man. I swear. I'll never leave here.
You got roots, buddy.
They'll end up sprinkling my ashes out there on that waterway. So,
dude, if you're like, my will says they will mix me into some concrete and create a reef. You have the Godfather Reef out there, you know.
Oh, I'm going to do that too.
Only my closest friends will get the numbers, you know. It's like, you can come out and fish with me every now and then, see. So, anyways, that's about it for tonight, man. I'm tired. I got to go do some homework checking. Clone's got a test tomorrow, so I think we're working on analytical calculus, so.
What?
Yeah. They don't just teach reading and writing anymore.
Dude, tell me about it. I mean, I'm not trying to keep you on it, but I went to Trey's started kindergarten this year. And I went to his school's like parent-teacher night or whatever, where they go over the actual curriculum for kindergarten. And I'm thinking, kindergarten, right? Finger painting, Play-Doh, whatever. Picking your nose every now and again. No. They're talking about right angles and mathematics, and you got to understand sight words and do all this stuff. And I'm like, what? And they're like, they need to be reading this level of a book by the time they go to first grade. I'm like, holy crap. Like,
yeah.
It's insane nowadays, man. Thank
That's right,
God
man.
I got out of school when I did, because I never even got through applied math. I didn't know what I would do. It's crazy. Whatever.
All right. Chuck, what are you going to have for us on Monday night, man? What's going to kick off the week?
I'm going to have a new studio Monday night, because our buddy Jeff Page from Georgia was so kind as to donate a new computer to me, because mine's taking a crap.
Nice.
So thank you, sir. If you're listening, I greatly appreciate it. Looking forward to that. As far as what we're going to talk about, well, we've got this little cool front that just showed up down here, and it should start to get some things changing slowly. So mullet run should start to kind of taper off over the next couple of weeks. Crustacean-based diet will start to kind of filter in, and things are going to get really interesting down here. If you thought the fishing was good during boondoggle, you guys are going to miss out in the next couple of months. It's going to be even better, so I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that.
Yeah. I had some DOA crabs just in case, but didn't need them. The bait buster did all the work for me this weekend, so.
Yeah, it's good bait, man. But when the mullet runs in, that's the one to throw for sure.
Yeah, that's one. There were some other ones too, but. All right, cool. Well, that's Redfish Chuck, Monday night host there. Pepe will be there with you.
Absolutely.
Maybe Captain Alex. A lot of local knowledge there.
More than likely. Captain Alex will show up. And we're hoping to get Alan back here in the next couple of weeks, too. So,
cool.
Going to have kind of quite the full show every week. Lots of information. So.
That's it. So if you're wanting to fish Central Florida, the Space Coast, Monday night, that's where you want to talk. Plus, I think we're going to revisit with some of the folks that were there at the Vendor Village. Told the guys from Werner and Benny Branches and the guys from NRS and stuff that we'd give them a shout here in a couple of weeks, you know, to kind of get them back on the shows and kind of talk about their experience at a boondoggle, because a lot of those guys was their first time. So be interesting.
Yeah.
Get Barrett on the show.
I talked to Luther, too, about it, and he was supposed to be on the night I had Woody on. And he just, you know, lost track of dating or whatever. But talked to him and then the guys from Knockwood, the Underwater Lights, and a couple other folks, the guys from RCI Optics that were there. In my booth, we're going to get all those dudes on the show here in the next couple of weeks. So we're trying to get at least one guest on each night for about a 15-minute or 10 to 15-minute segment. And then
Yeah.
Give them the boot and then talk more fishing.
Right. All right. Jim, what's going on the north side, man? Fishing up there? You're just back in town? You going back out again or what?
Well, I think I'm going to be home next week. I was supposed to go back to Vancouver, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be home, which means Saturday is catch up around the house, and Sunday I might do a little fishing. I haven't fished since Labor Day week when I was in Delaware, just south of Matt. So I'm ready. I'm ready to do some fishing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Matt, how about you, man? What's on the calendar for this coming weekend? You guys got any more? You done with your How events for the year or what?
How is done for the season, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
It gets too cold this time of year to take those guys out. We don't want them freezing and ruining their day. So.
Right.
But tomorrow night I'm going out right after work. I'm going to fish probably from 7 o'clock till 3 in the morning. Hopefully catch some stripers on some eels. So it's that time of the year.
How do you keep your eels warm, man? You put them in your mouth, or?
Oh, they're better cold. They're less squirmy.
Oh, okay. Easier to hang on to, huh?
Oh, yeah. Easier to get the hook through them.
All right. Well, cool. Tight lines to you. I'm going to be recovering.
Thanks,
I've got it hasn't gotten cold enough here that the grass doesn't grow, so we got some lawn mowing to do and some general vehicle maintenance. So I don't think I'm going to be fishing this weekend, but I might actually go out, maybe take the motorcycle up and see what the leaves are doing, if they're changing up yet in the North Georgia areas. So, but we'll be here next Thursday night. Thanks, Matt. Jim, Chuck's already dumped us for the night. But we'll see everybody next week. Appreciate you joining me here on the show. And we'll do it again. You guys that are out there, it's getting cold. Like Matt says, you got to have the right gear. Don't get in over your head. Make sure somebody knows where you're at. Give a little flight plan or a float plan. And take a kid fishing. All right? We'll see you guys next week. Thanks a lot. Good night.